want to talk to you tonight about a statement that I find in Ecclesiastes chapter 11 in verse 5. We're going to read verses 1 through 5 and then have a word of prayer. But there's a statement that is made in verse 5 when Solomon says, "Even so." And I want to talk to you tonight about things that are even so or matter of fact. It says in verse 1 of chapter 11, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. Give a portion to 7 and also to 8, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. What a wonderful statement. We're going to talk about that more tonight. I enjoy verse 3. "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. As thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child," and here's the statement, "even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." So let's have a word of prayer, ask God's blessing on our time together tonight. Heavenly Father, we again approach the throne of grace in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, we're so thankful that we're saved, that we're on our way to heaven, that the Holy Spirit abides within us, guiding us into all truth. And Father, I pray that you would open our understanding tonight so that we can know the scriptures, that you would speak to every heart in a very personal and powerful way, that your Holy Spirit would help us make good godly decisions tonight, that all of us in here would submit to the Word of God, that you would meet every need, watch over everything that is said and how things are received by these people listening tonight. And Father, help us be very careful to give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. For we ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Thinking about these first five verses in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 11, we understand that the only life that we have to live for God is the life that we have left. Many of us could probably stand and testify. I know I certainly can and certainly will tonight, that there have been times in the past that I have failed my God. And I'm not proud of that. I was saved at the age of 13, working in children's church as a helper. And the little kids, 5, 6, and 7 years of age, were being presented the gospel. The teacher at that time focused on those 5, 6, and 7-year-olds, didn't know that a 13-year-old back in the back was battling whether I was saved or not. And that message, a very simple message on flannel graph, if you remember that, with a black heart, white heart, red heart, spoke to a 13-year-old boy, and I accepted Christ as my Savior January 14, 1979. At the age of 15, I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, "I'll do what you want me to do, go where you want me to go, say what you want me to say." And even though he called me to preach, somehow he also led me into the field of medicine. And with that, he's been able to wed those two things together, medicine and preaching the gospel, preaching the word of God. And ever since the age of 15, having a sincere desire to do what is right, to follow God, to have God's will done in my life, there have been times when I have failed. There have been times when I have fallen. And I cannot get those times back. Those times are done, and we'll talk about that a little bit more as it comes to verse 3. But the life that I have left, I can serve the Lord Jesus Christ with. And you too, even though you've made mistakes, you've thought things you shouldn't have thought, said things you shouldn't have said, done things you shouldn't have done, the life that you have left can be lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. You can have a life that counts for the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit's guidance, through his grace and mercy, will help you get over those failures and, in fact, can take those failures and use them to minister to others that have failed in similar ways. I've told you this story before about my kidney stones. I would have patients come to me, and they would be writhing in pain with kidney stones. And I would think to myself as I would take care of them in the office or in the hospital, it can't be that bad. You've got a man up or woman up, whoever it was. I would think they're a little bit on the wussy side, that it was not that bad. And then God, in his mercy and grace, I birthed 6 kidney stones. And I do now understand how difficult it can be, how painful it can be. And I have a yearly anniversary or birthday for my biggest stone that I passed. Not that I worship it, not that I memorialize it, but I do have an anniversary date for it. But now when someone comes to my office or the hospital and they're writhing in pain with kidney stones, you know what I'm going to say? I have a tender, more compassionate heart for that person. I'm not telling them to man up or woman up. I'm not thinking that they're a sissy. I know that they're in pain and that they need assistance. So God, even taking your failures, God can take those failures and mature you, have you more merciful, more compassionate as we minister to other people. God will enable you to live life to the fullest as you desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this passage in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, Solomon is going over some instructional things about life, how to live life. And he says in verse 5, that little two-word statement, even so, or some things about God that we're going to talk about tonight in the first 5 verses that are matter of fact. Matter of fact. And that's what we need to get down to again in the teaching and preaching of the Word of God. Thus saith the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with illustrations. I give them. There's nothing wrong with stories. I give them as well. But the main thrust of teaching and preaching is the Bible, is the Word of God. My stories, my illustrations will not change your heart. They will not save a soul. But the preaching of the Word of God through faith in Jesus Christ can save a soul. And the preaching and teaching of the Word of God as a person submits to that teaching and preaching can change a life for the better and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I want to share with you some things that are even so that I find in the first 5 verses of Ecclesiastes chapter 11. And the first one is found in verse 1, and that is our casting. It says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. This means an application that we should give our lives away to the cause of Jesus Christ. We have something far more valuable to invest than money, and that is our life. Now, I believe that we should invest our finances in the work of God. We should invest in missions. We should invest in Vacation Bible Camp. We should invest in our Awana program. We should invest in our Sunday school. Invest our finances in the things of God. But there's something that is much more valuable to invest that all of us have, and that's our own lives. We need to invest our time, our talents, our treasures, our entire life in the Word of God, in the work of God. He's saying in verse 11, we are to cast our life away to Christ, and when we cast or give our life away to Christ, we will find our life, because Jesus Christ is life. People out there in the world think that they're having fun, but they don't have any idea of what fun is. People out there in the world think that they're happy, but they have no idea what happiness is. People out there in the world doing the things that they do think they have joy unspeakable and full of glory, but they have no idea what real joy is. Real fulfillment, real satisfaction, real joy, real happiness is knowing Christ as Savior and then walking and living according to the standards and principles of the Word of God. That's when you're happy. That's when you have joy. That's when you have satisfaction. Not when you're out there intoxicated with all the things of the world, but when a child of God, through faith in Christ, lives the Word of God. That's what happiness is about. I told the story of a lady in Sunday school that for multiple years drank alcohol and was intoxicated almost every minute of every day. And now she's had 3 years sobriety, victory in Jesus Christ. And when I see her every 3 months for an accountability process and to keep up with her and to encourage her. And all the time. She says, I thought I was happy being intoxicated. I thought I was happy drinking. I thought I was happy carousing. She says, I didn't know what happiness was until I got sober and knew Christ. And that's what it's all about, my friends. We are to give our lives away, cast our life away to Christ, and we'll find it. We must simply give our lives to the Lord and trust Him to give us all that we need, because God will supply our needs. It says in Proverbs 19:17, He that hath pity upon the poor lendeth unto the Lord, and that which he hath given will he pay him again. When we give our lives to the Lord, when we lend our lives to the Lord, Jesus Christ will be faithful and he will pay us again. When we give ourselves away, according to Proverbs 19:17, God obligates himself as a debtor to a lender. That's God obligating to us when we give our life away to him. If we cast our bread upon the waters, as verse 1 says, he promises that we will find it, because only in Christ can we truly find meaning in life. Do not hold back, my friends. Young people, give your life away to Christ. God may call you into medicine as he called me. He may call you to be a veterinary medicine as he called Dr. Gillespie. He may call you to be an engineer. He may call you to be a tool and die factory. He may call you to do a lot of different things. But make that secondary and make your pursuit and passion, the primary pursuit and passion in life, Jesus Christ. Not everyone can be a pastor. Not everyone can be a youth pastor. But everybody can be sold out to Christ. Everyone can have a passion for Christ and a pursuit for Christ. And so cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. That's what life is about. Life is about giving your life away to Christ. And God obligates himself to pay you, to bless you, to reward you for it. Secondly, first of all, our casting our bread upon the waters. Secondly, our clouds. It says in verse 4, drop down to verse 4, and then we're going to go back to verse 3. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. We must not allow circumstances to govern our lives. Circumstances, as the winds out there, can change. But the word of God and the truth of God never changes. That's why we govern our lives. We make decisions in our lives, not based necessarily on circumstances or on our feelings, but on the teachings and the truth of the Word of God. Some people say, I've had a difficulty in my life. And I would probably say that all of us could raise our hands tonight and said, I've had some type of difficulty in my life. But some will go on to say, since they've had a difficulty, that they cannot do for God what I should do because of this problem. They're allowing a circumstance to hinder their work for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I ask you tonight, what have you allowed to be a cloud in your life? What circumstances have you allowed to cloud your life? All of us, I believe, have something difficult to deal with, but we must serve God wholeheartedly. And that's why we go back to verse 3. It says, if the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. You may have been... What you thought was a sunny day was a good day, but the clouds came over and you got drenched. And it wasn't a good day as far as you're concerned. The clouds were there, the clouds emptied themselves on you, and you got all wet. And none of us, as we know in Southwest Florida, come the afternoon hours, although lately it's kind of been a little tricky with the rain, but typically speaking, in the afternoon hours, you wait for those storms to roll in. I know that I try to time my exiting from my office as I look on the radar or look for the clouds. And if I see the clouds rolling in and you're my last patient of the day, it's going to be a quick visit, my friend, because I want to get out of there. I really don't care what's going on in your life. I just don't want to get wet. So I advise you, don't have the 3 o'clock or 3:30 or 2:30 appointment. Not the best time to see Dr. Crabb. because I've done it in the past where I'm done and it is just pouring down rain and I'm standing at the entrance of the building and I'm thinking this could go on as we look at my radar or, you know, the Weather Channel app or whatever. This could be going on for 30 or 40 more minutes and I don't want to stay there. And so I get drenched on my way out. Now you say you should be wise and have an umbrella in your possession. And this boy is not that dumb. I do now have a small umbrella in my briefcase that I bring in. Because I've gotten drenched one too many times. And it's no fun. It's no fun driving home all wet. Is it? It's no fun. We don't enjoy, most people, those that are sane, don't enjoy that. If someone says they enjoy it, then you question their sanity. But you got wet. Get over it. Things happen in life. You think it's going to be a sunny day, a nice day, and the clouds came and rained on you and you got wet? Okay, it happens. But don't use that as an excuse not to be sold out for God and not to serve God. And then he goes on in verse 3 and talks about the trees. He says, if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there shall it be. Quite a profound statement, isn't it? If a tree falls to the north, that's where it's going to be. That's right. That's right, Solomon. If a tree falls to the south, that's where it's going to be. That's exactly right. The tree fell there, that's where it's going to be. We're talking about big trees that you couldn't move. The tree fell, that's where it's going to be. Something happened in your life. You cannot change it. It happened. Okay, go on and serve God. Don't make a memorial out of that tree. Don't make a shrine out of that tree. Step over that tree and get on for God. That's what he's talking about here. Don't allow these excuses, these fallen trees in your life. And I've had several fallen trees. And sometimes you want to go back and look at them. Sometimes you want to go back and sit on them. But we need, as I illustrated, we need to step over them and get on serving Jesus Christ and not allow those fallen trees, not allow those times when we've been drenched with rain to subdue our passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see our casting. Give your life away to the Lord Jesus Christ, because only then will you find life. Life outside of Christ is not real living. The only satisfaction, the only fulfillment that there is in life is a saved, sold-out man or woman. That's living. You say, that's boring. You've never lived it then. I've had people, oh, the Christian life is boring. And I tell them, try to tell them in a compassionate way, putting the flesh to the side, if you think the Christian life, the sold-out life for God is boring, you've never tasted it, my friend. Because it is life. It is the best. There is no better. And then our casting, our clouds, don't allow those days that you got drenched in the rain and made you all yucky and feel bad. And don't allow those fallen trees that are in your past to rob your future of serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, I see in verse 5, our certainty when Solomon says, even so. God illustrates the life of faith in verse 5. And I love what he says as a medical doctor talking about the bones developing in the womb of her that is with child. It says, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Then he says, even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. It's fascinating. I remember taking embryology in undergraduate, and then having obviously a more extensive course in it in medical school. It's really fascinating that you take one cell from a dad with 23 chromosomes, one cell from a mother with 23 chromosomes, and may I say it should be a father and a mother. Not, you understand why I didn't say male and female, but mom and dad, as it's sanctioned by the word of God, amen? And those two cells come together forming what we call a two-cell zygote. Those two cells go to 4, 4 to 8, 8 to 16, to 32, to 64, to 128, to 256, to 512, to 1024, and just keep doubling. That's about as far as I can go without a calculator. But those two cells, nobody knows how this happens. Obviously, God does because he formed. This is how awesome our God is. Those two cells coming together to form that, what we call a two-cell zygote stage, end up forming three-cell lines. You have two cells coming together to form a two-cell zygote, and then out of that come three cell lines called the ectoderm, endoderm, and mesoderm. And out of those three cell lines that no one knows, how did those two cells know to develop into two, then to four, and then those develop into three separate cell lines that form all the organs and all the tissues in our body? Nobody can say what is the stimulus, what is the factor that causes those cells to know how to develop in those certain ways. Because not all muscle cell is the same. You have what we call striated muscle cells, skeletal muscles. You have what we call smooth muscle. You have what we call cardiac muscle. How do those two cells know all of that? It's fascinating, isn't it? Well, let's put it, and how does the body know to develop bones versus soft tissue versus other tissue? We don't have a lot of those answers, but we do know it happens, right? As we know with Chris and Heather, it happens. And then you have a baby. And he says that because we don't have the reasoning behind all of those little, and think the complexity of the human body and how all of that happens. And when he says that in verse 5, how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. Just as we cannot see the development of a child in a mother's womb, we cannot see all that God is doing. We cannot figure everything out. I've told you this many times, teaching and preaching here, going through the Bible multiple times, looking for this. God has never asked us to understand him. He's asked us to obey him. Because I cannot understand the infinite. The finite, the limited, cannot understand the infinite or the unlimited. But what I have to have is faith in him. That's why he's talking about in verse 5, having that faith life that we are certain. Even so, as we don't understand the complexity and how those cells know where to go, what to form into, and what to make, even though we don't understand it, it happens. We don't at times understand God, but God is always at work in our lives for his glory and honor. Right now, he's working in Lehigh in hearts, preparing them for a new church start. We don't know how. We don't understand that. He's working in Belize for the missionary family that's going to go back and start fresh. God is already plowing the ground, possibly even planting seed that these individuals can harvest. And we don't understand. They're not even there yet, but God is. And God is able. And you say, well, I don't understand. Well, that's good. You don't have to understand. We just have to, by faith, believe. As the child is developed and we don't have any concept how it all happens, but we know it does, God is at work in your life. Have faith that he's working for his honor and glory in your life. And so we see the even so of a few verses in Ecclesiastes chapter 11. I ask you tonight, Are you casting your bread upon the water? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? First of all, have you given your life to Jesus Christ as your Savior? That's the paramount decision in everyone's heart. What have you done with Jesus Christ? As Brother Moon spoke this morning, you will be like one of those thieves. You will realize your sin and humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and trust Him as Savior, or you will continually deride Him and mock Him until you enter a sinner's hell. Give your life to Christ tonight as Savior. But I'm probably speaking to mostly saved people tonight. Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? Is your passion in life Christ? Is your pursuit in Christ? Is your pursuit in life the Lord Jesus Christ? As I told you before, I enjoy medicine, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't enjoy it as I enjoy the Word of God. This is my passion. Preaching and teaching the Word of God, studying the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, reading the Word of God, that's the passion. And no matter what you might do full time for your life, or even if you're retired and have nothing to do, you're supposed to laugh at that. Your passion should be Christ. And then we all have days where we got rained on. We all have some trees that have fallen in our life, do we not? May I say compassionately and kindly, as much as I can, get over it and get on with God. And then realize tonight that even though we don't understand all that God is doing, we don't understand why He's doing this when we think He should be doing this. We think God should be over here and God's over here. We think we should be going down Avenue A and God wants us to go down Avenue B. I don't understand it. I've never been asked to understand it. By faith, I just trust God. He knows the way through the wilderness. All I have to do is follow. So where are you tonight with these even so's, these matter of facts in the Christian walk? I pray that as God works in your heart, that you will ponder these things, and may all of us leave this place passionate for the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, thank you again for your love and your mercy. Thank you for your grace, your forgiveness. We want to thank you again for this place that we can come together and sing your songs. We can hear the preaching and teaching of your word. We can hear missionaries give their report. We can hear a brother in Christ share his burden to start a church. Father, that's what living's about. Father, we pray tonight that you would work in every heart. As you lead and as you guide, may we find ourselves kneeling at an old-fashioned altar, stating that we're going to cast our life away to you because we know that we'll find it in you. That we'll take a step over those trees that have fallen in our lives, that will dry off from those rainy days and get on serving you. And Father, there might be some tonight that they just don't understand what's going on in their life right now. It's not what they planned, it's not what they thought, but it's you working in their life. Help us submit and by faith trust you that you know where you're taking us. So Father, may your will be done tonight. May you be glorified in all that is done here in just a few short moments. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. If you'd stand.
If you would like to know more about the Lord Jesus Christ, you may contact us at the church website, gospelbaptistchurch.com, or you can go to Facebook and type in Gospel Baptist Church, Bonita Springs, Florida. Also, you could call the church office at 239-947-1285. Thank you, and God bless.